evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, August 4th, 2023. Authorities in South Sudan's eastern Equatorial state call for restraint amid escalating intercommunal violence.
And this is something that we want to condemn as authorities in Kapoita. We want to say it's a very awkward and a very barbaric act.
And South Sudan's government disputes a report questioning the implementation of the country's peace agreement.
From 2017 to date, the cessation of hostilities, the ceasefire, has been holding. The members of the parties have been implementing the agreement in letters and spirit.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in eastern Equatorial State are calling for calm in Kapoita South County after a string of killings and revenge attacks over the past few days, raising tensions between communities in the area. Eastern Equatorial State's information minister says the state has sent a committee to work with chiefs in Kapoita South to restore calm. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Local leaders say unknown gunmen killed two women and wounded a child in Kapoita town on Wednesday. They say the same day an angry mob lynched an unidentified man suspected of killing the two women. Dr. Rovers Luis, the Kapoita South Hospital administrator, says he tried to save the life of one of the victims, a pregnant woman.
Tried to manage the mother because the mother was a severe injured in the head and the brain was coming out. So even to manage the mother, and the mother was also pregnant, 8 months pregnant, so it was also difficult. So what we try to do surgery to the mother to remove the fetus. But we removed the fetus after the mother died. So we removed the child. The child survived for a period of 1 hour. Then also the child passed away.
Luis says four people were killed in the violence, including the mother and baby. Elia Lokoda, the mayor of Kapoita town, condemned the violence but called for calm.
And this is something that we want to condemn as authorities in Kapoita. We want to say it's a very awkward and a very barbaric act of criminals killing innocent people, Sudanese, and the extreme women, lactating women, pregnant women. Why do you have to kill and take life of such an innocent young ladies?
Local leaders say they believe the women were killed to avenge previous deadly attacks. Last Saturday, a road ambush along Kapoita Torit Highway claimed more than three lives. Intercommunal violence in the Greater Kapoita started on July 9th when more than 10 people were killed and three others wounded in Luwareng village of Kapoita North County following a week of intercommunal violence at a newly discovered gold mining area. Patrick Oting, the Eastern Equatorial State Information Minister, condemns the violence and is urging communities to remain calm and not to take law into their own hands.
We have already made some ways of how we can able to have our forces or the locals and these communities to come together and to address these issues one for good, because not all the people in those communities are bad. There is individuals, there is criminals who are trying to create issues from nowhere. And
the local leaders say they fear rising tensions in Greater Kapoita will threaten traffic along the Torit Kapoita Highway. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
South Sudan is downplaying a recent U.S. report accusing the government of doing little to implement the 2018 peace agreement and prepare the country for elections. A top official says the government is finalizing key tasks outlined in the deal and which will culminate in holding elections next year. Waki Simon Wudu has this report for VOA from Juba.
The report by the U.S. State Department says South Sudan's government continues to drag its feet in implementing essential commitments of the revitalized peace deal and has repeatedly failed to meet key milestones. It says the unity government's decision to extend the transitional period last year for 2 more years gave political elites an opportunity to shower up political power and resources at the expense of the South Sudanese people. It further states that competition for political power and economic resources manifest in fighting between proxies with political sub-factions, manipulating ethnic and communal tensions to their advantage, often leading to violence and human rights abuses. Deng Dao Deng, South Sudan acting foreign affairs minister, insists the government is implementing the peace deal.
You can see from 2017 to date, the cessation of hostilities, the ceasefire, has been holding. The members of the parties have been implementing the agreement in letters and spirit. We have a government in place, both at the national level. We have the parliament. We have the parliament at the state. We have government at the state level.
The report also accuses the government of not establishing the necessary preconditions for elections, as evidenced by continued delays in establishing legal frameworks, independent electoral institutions, and a civic space to enable genuine political competition. On Wednesday, the UN Special Representative in South Sudan, Nicholas Haysom, said the most important tasks of the peace agreement remain unimplemented, including security arrangements.
I'd want to underline that's the National Constitutional Review Commission, the National Elections Commission, and the Political Parties Council must be prioritized. These, what we call foundational tasks, also encompass the drafting of the new constitution, where the parties must reach consensus on the constitutional provisions and have realistic expectations on what can be done in the remaining time and within existing resource constraints.
Deng says the government is doing all it can to ensure that such challenges are addressed.
We are working to implement all the remaining provisions, including the constitution-making process, including the issues of reconstitution of the election commission. All these are commitment of the government.
A year ago, the United States ended its financial support to the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and ceasefire and transitional security arrangements, monitoring and verification mechanism, saying the government was not doing enough to carry out the peace deal. The U.S. is South Sudan's biggest donor. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Some professional young Sudanese who fled the ongoing conflict in Sudan say employment in South Sudan is a tall order. Muhammad Al-Hadi Abdurrahman, an IT specialist and a photographer, says he lost everything during fighting between Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces in his hometown in Darfur. Juliana Shepai has more for VOA from Juba.
Some of the young professional Sudanese who fled to South Sudan's capital Juba say they feel safe but are not certain about what the future holds for them. Muhammad Al-Hadi Abdurrahman is an information technology specialist and a photographer who owned Turkash Media Company he founded in 2020. Abdurrahman says the conflict in Sudan destroyed their home in Zalinje, central Darfur. He fled, leaving behind his camera, computers, and other equipment.
I'm one of the people who lost everything. The company, its production tools, furniture, our home. We thank God that we thought of leaving Sudan. And the first country that came to my mind is South Sudan, because from our knowledge about South Sudan, we are one country, no difference, the same Sudan.
USAID said in early May that brave Sudanese health workers and humanitarians continue to serve as a lifeline for those in urgent need of medical care. And the United States continues to stand with the Sudanese people. But humanitarian workers like Al-Fadil Abdul Shafi Issa, who was employed by Save the Children in Sudan, could not bear the impact of the conflict. He says when Khartoum came under fire, most of his friends and relatives fled to Egypt, Libya, and many other countries, but he preferred to escape to South Sudan's capital, Juba. Issa says his 16 days journey from Khartoum to Juba via Rangtown by road was tough. He says he's glad he made the right decision to cross into South Sudan.
When we got to Juba, it was different, and the living standard were better than rank. At the end of the day, we did not have any misunderstanding with our South Sudanese brothers in anything.
The Oxford University in the United Kingdom has a significant number of Sudanese students and staff. The university recently wrote to its staff and students from Sudan to offer welfare and another type of support to students affected by the conflict in Sudan. But university students like Mohammed Ahmed Musa, who was in his final year, the University of Niala in Sudan, will not benefit from the Oxford offer. Musa, who was studying information technology, says his thesis was ready for discussion with his supervisor, but he had to escape from Darfur to South Sudan.
I am from war and not having plans yet, but hopefully in the future, I will try to look for a job or business to live with until when things get better. Then we can see what to do, either to go back to Sudan or stay. But honestly, I'm one of the people whom only God knows if I will ever go back to Sudan.
The story of the three Sudanese young men are an example of what many Sudanese refugees living in South Sudan's capital go through. Many Sudanese refugees who spoke to VOA say they are seeking education, work, health services, and other sources of income as they resettle in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shapai in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we hear from the former chief of VOA's English to Africa service about how this program was created. Stay tuned for that interview, which is coming up after this break. Listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Sudan's finance officials say they will pay a one-month salary to all civil servants for the first time since fighting between two military factions broke out in mid-April. An official says the decision is meant to show solidarity with citizens displaced from their homes by the bloody conflict. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
Sudan's Minister of Finance and Economic Planning announced earlier this week that it secured the one-month salary for all government workers. In a statement released Tuesday in Port Sudan, located in the country's Red Sea state, the acting Minister of Information and Government spokesperson, Jerham Abdulgadir, said the government hopes the payment would reduce the economic hardship citizens have faced during what he called unnecessary war.
We shall continue to work hard to respond to the demands of our citizens as part of our responsibility as the authority and our solidarity with our civil servant.
Civil servants have not received salaries for the past 4 months. The conflict, which broke out on April 15th, affected all infrastructure in the capital, Khartoum, including banking systems. Speaking to VOA from Wad Medani of Al Jazeera State, May Muhammad, who used to work as a teacher in a secondary school in Khartoum, said rather than paying a one-month salary, the government should stop the war so people can return home. Muhammad fled Khartoum in June and is now camped in one of the schools in Wad Medani.
People in the middle of the center of Khartoum, they die because of hunger, because of lack of food and water. They can't get any health providing. This war must stop now.
Tajasir Suleiman works at the Ministry of Information in northern Darfur state. Suleiman says the money will help families and individuals buy essential supplies. He says a lack of cash in the banks and widespread looting have hurt citizens around the country.
Selling and purchasing power has deteriorated significantly in the market due to the lack of commodities that have been produced in Khartoum due to the ongoing war.
Sudanese analyst Walid Ataib also welcomes the government's decision to pay workers, saying it will revive cash flow and boost financial transactions in some of the relatively calm states.
This decision will refresh the banks in the coming days, including local markets. The cash will also help civil servants who fled Khartoum to other states, and it will also refresh the estate sector by paying the rent for families and other outstanding dues.
Experts and international financial institutions say the war in Sudan is likely to cripple the country's economy, disrupt internal trade routes, threaten imports, and trigger a cash crunch. The UN says since the start of the fighting in Sudan, about 700,000 refugees, asylum seekers, and returnees have crossed the border into neighboring countries. Michael Atit for VOA News, Juba, South Sudan.
VOA's English to Africa service marks its 60th anniversary today. I sat down with Sonia Lawrence Green, the former chief of the service, to discuss the journey of South Sudan in Focus and its role within the service. We started at the inception of the program back in 2011.
It was such a great project. We were coming up to the independence of South Sudan in 2011, and funding was procured for a special kind of programming, which was focused on the country, the newest country in the world, South Sudan. Yeah. And what an opportunity, right, to, at that very exciting moment, find journalists from South Sudan, journalists who had lived the experience, who knew what the issues were, to work with Voice of America, which made space for those voices.
Yes.
And to travel along the journey with the South Sudanese people as they transitioned to this new country, all the things, good, bad, and in between. You know, our original founding statement policy was, you know, the news may be good, the news may be bad, but we'll tell you the truth.
Correct. How important was the creation of the show in providing coverage and insight into the situation in South Sudan, especially with the independence, like you already mentioned, but other critical junctures like the civil war in 2013 and 16?
VOA was uniquely positioned to be able to cover the news both locally and internationally during some of those difficult times, in particular during the civil strife. We have a bureau in Juba. We have stringers that were based in various locations in the country. But there were times when they were under pressure or under threat, and we had important interviews that we had to conduct. And so we could turn to our South Sudan Focus team in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And as you remember, I was a fellow here in the, with the Atlas Corps Fellowship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we were able to bring a lot of the South Sudanese journalists to Washington, like you did on Atlas Fellowship, Michael Atit and others, Lucy Pony and others, because we wanted to have a closer working relationship and to be able to provide training and equipment that maybe wasn't available readily in the field. And if we got a call from one of our reporters in the field saying, hey, we've got this great interview, but we feel a little funny about this, can you conduct the interview? We could do it. And VOA was uniquely positioned in the sense that I think a lot of the locally owned media were struggling at different points. You know, the media authority has policies,
some restrictions
and regulations. There was some intimidation that local journalists reported. But we were able to rise above that. We were able as a team to get accurate, balanced, comprehensive news to the people of South Sudan throughout. And I think that really made us one of the most respected and trusted media organizations in the country. And I think that's been a service to not only our South Sudanese audience, but to anybody who cares about South Sudan.
And over the years, how has the show evolved in terms of its format, content? What milestones or changes appreciate that?
I think the show has grown from just sort of spot news to being a more thoughtful, strategic broadcast. You know, we have run incredibly important specials, you know, on anniversaries. We've been able to hear, you know, we can do like round robin discussions with the reporters in the field and hear from the people in each of these locations what they're thinking, feeling, seeing, hearing, and experiencing. Or we've also run special feature series. There was a feature series on hate speech, a multi-part series on, right. you know, the danger of hate speech and what can be done to address it and how can there be more productive dialogue and what can South Sudanese themselves do? What do they look to the outside world to help them with? So I think that now South Sudan and Focus, a lot of the journalists on the team, yourself included, Nabil, have a lot of experience, a lot of ideas, and are beginning to really look at the program as a place where we can do so much more than what we started
with. Absolutely.
I am so grateful to have been part of this team. I was chief from 2000 to 2021, 2005 to 2021. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry for the misremembering. Yeah. And, you know, we saw rapid growth. In the years that I was chief, we went from 6 million audience members to 25 million audience members.
Yes.
Right? Multiplicity. In terms of our audience, we were able to expand on television and on the internet. We were able to expand our audiences in radio, through FM, through our partnerships with affiliates, important affiliates in South Sudan,
yes,
too.
Yeah. Throughout the country at this point.
Yes, exactly. So looking ahead, as communications grows and evolves, you know, I think we need to keep our core audience on radio, but I think, you know, expansion into digital media and also making sure that we incorporate the feedback of the ordinary citizens and the listeners and the audience members.
Yes.
I think that's something that's critically important.
Yes.
And, you know, 60 years of English to Africa and, you know, over 10 years of South Sudan in Focus. Those are real achievements. And I am proud to be part of Voice of America that cares about the African continent, that cares about every one of the countries on the continent and makes the space for us to be able to tell the stories, the news, whether it's good or bad, about South Sudan. That's really important.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. Sure. Thank you so much, Nabil.
That's Sonia Lawrence Green, former chief of VOA's English to Africa service. She was speaking with me here at VOA this past hour. And as you just heard, VOA's English to Africa service is celebrating its 60th anniversary today. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on our programs. You send us voice messages and text. Here are some of your comments and thanks for 60 years of support.
Actually, I'm one of the VOA listeners, and the program I like most is South Sudan in Focus. My favorite memory about VOA was about the outbreak of COVID-19 in 2019. So VOA took a lead by aware communities, mostly the community of Lagos State, about the prevention and also other control measures of coronavirus. So VOA did a lot. The other programs which are to be covered by VOA are as follows. One of it is about election, because, you know, South Sudan is going to hold election in 2024, which is next year. So we need BOA to take a lead to aware citizens about the election, how election is going to take place, because some of the people now, they don't know how election is, but it will be the first time for South Sudanese to learn from BOA. Another thing that BOA can cover is about the economic crisis. You know very well that South Sudan is being held by this economic crisis in the country. So we need also BOA to take a lead to aware about the economic crisis of South Sudan.
My favorite program in BOA is South Sudan in Focus. This is my favorite program because it covers a lot of stories, a lot of events, a lot of actually things that are making us to progress in all what we do and all what we get to know more about in South Sudan. So South Sudan in Focus is my favorite program because it is reliable and has accurate information. Yes, I would like BOA to cover post-marriages and early child marriages because at the site where I work, there are a lot of these cases that are happening now, every now and then, and these young girls are actually being put at risk. I would like also BOA to cover the news about the upcoming elections that is going to kick off in 2024. So I like BOA to cover more about it because we season, we are eager actually to know much more about the election which are going to come. And they will be actually telling us the accurate and reliable information because some of us will not be at the site or will not be at the polling station. We'll just be at home. We'll just be listening to BOA.
Hello, BOA. This is Denchere Majok from Juba, South Sudan. As BOA English to Africa Service celebrates its 6 years of broadcast across Africa, I would like to thank and appreciate BOA and its amazing journalists for their tireless effort in covering news across Africa. Voice of America remains my rightful and reliable source of news and information. In this also, I would like to applaud and appreciate the hosts and co-hosts of some of my favorite programs. As follow, Daybreak African News host James Batty, International Edition host Cindy Ofor, Lori London, and Steve Miller. African News Tonight host, he is Sweep, South Sudan in Focus hosts John Tanza and Neville Piaggio. And lastly, but not least, Sunny Side of Sport host, Sunny Young. And then, thank you so much, guys. Keep up the good work. In the area of improvement, also, I would like to request BOA management to at least find a way of providing news recap or repeat to some of the important programs like African News Tonight. And thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on our programs, and thanks for 60 years of support. And that's all we have for you this Friday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Awilo and the song Break Your Back. Been listening to Awilo and the song Break Your Back. I'm your host, Nabil Biagio in Washington. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer Keela, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.